October is such a festive month. As the shadows lengthen and the wind makes the shutters creak, our thoughts turn to the ghosts and ghouls of Halloween. And we'll take you to one of the top Halloween attractions this year, which has risen up from the near dead. But that's not the only holiday we celebrate. Dia de los Muertos brings cultures together in a festival of color and costume, heritage and history. Hollywood Forever Cemetery is hosting their annual celebration of the Day of the Dead. We'll show you that. And October is National Cookie Month. We've got sweets galore as we take a look at a cookie baking contest going over 3 weekends in October. Fox 11 News In Depth starts right now. Hello, everyone. I'm Hal Eisner, and this is Fox 11 News In Depth. As we sink closer to Halloween, closer to a time when we think of hauntings and spooks, one of the popular attractions this time of year just got brought back from the dead after being gone for 3 pandemic years. Boney Island is currently spooking guests at the Natural History Museum. And joining us right now is Rick Polizzi. And Rick started this thing. Rick got it going. And boy, has it grown into something big. You know, I've said to you before, my favorite holiday is Halloween. So I'm looking forward to hearing more about Boney Island. I want to come out there and see that. Tell us about Boney Island. What is it?
Yeah, I started this in the mid-90s. My daughter wanted to go to a haunted house, begged me to take her, and I did. And I said, you're not going to like it. It's too scary. She hated it. We went with a couple of friends. She hated it. And so I said, let's do something at our house that's going to be fun and capture the spirit of Halloween, old-time Halloween. So that's what we started doing, and it kept growing. We added to it each year, and everybody, I think, just loved the vibe of non-threatening, funny. There are jokes that adults get that kids don't, and vice versa. So it became a meeting place for the neighborhood in Sherman Oaks, and it just got so big. We were a victim of our own circumstance and our own success. So we got shut down, and we decided to move it to Griffith Park. It did well there, and then COVID hit. So now we're at the Museum of Natural History.
You know, let's share with everybody, used to be a producer for The Simpsons. And how much of that did you bring into this? I mean, it's such a fun show, and this is such a fun haunted experience, right?
Right. You know, the Simpsons has its treehouse of horror every year at Halloween. And I just always liked fun. I didn't care for chainsaws and gore. And I don't know how that became so Halloweenish now. But I wanted to do something different that everyone could come hang out and have a great time and not get scared. I don't have any jump scares. Everything is kind of spooky and kind of funny. So I love to inject humor in everything and all the displays. And a lot of them talk with you, and there's just funny lines all over the place to see these vignettes speak to you. You can speak back to them. There are some interactive things. So, you know, we encourage that as well. There's a giant glow-in-the-dark water show that's like a mini Bellagio. So that's part of the, you know, it's got a story to it, and it's just a great time that does not contain gore or jump scares.
So family friendly is what we call it. And, you know, I remember when I was a kid and I'd go through some of these haunted houses, you know, you go through, it's dark, and you feel somebody putting spaghetti on your head.
Right, exactly.
And that kind of thing. And then all of a sudden somebody, you talked about jump scares, somebody come out and go boo. And this, this really is 180 degrees, right? Different.
It is. I remember that, feeling the peeled grapes, and these are eyeballs. And that's kind of fun and creepy, but it's not jarring. So I didn't like that aspect of the jumping out and scaring you. So I wanted everything to be subtle and to really just wash over you. Some of the jokes hit you over the head, but it's just a feeling. And it's like an old-time Halloween festival. And there's vignettes everywhere to just take close looks at, because there's so many little details that are hidden. You'll see skeletal butterflies flitting around in a garden area. There's just a lot that you have to look for. and it's all good-natured and fun.
That when you moved it to the Natural History Museum, how did it change? What did being at the museum allow you to do?
Well, it was a lot bigger, so we had to add a lot more displays. And we've been, you know, rushing to get as many fun things in the museum. But I was saying, you know, their bones and our bones, I think, would make a great Halloween display, because it's basically a skeleton carnival where skeletons, you know, rule this nature garden at the museum. And we get to see their antics. Some of the things they're doing magic a lot of times. That's the theme. So they're messing up magic. Sometimes it's successful, but it's always fun.
And that's where Boney Island comes from, that you're dealing with bones of butterflies and bones of skeletons and whatever.
Right. Yeah, I started it as a takeoff of Coney Island, and it was like a skeleton amusement park where this world of skeletons just appeared every Halloween season at my house and would have a great time putting on this carnival, and everyone just took to it and loved coming to see what was new each year.
So this is the first time you're doing it at the Natural History Museum?
That's correct. We're hoping to make it an annual event.
Yeah, and how many people are you expecting out there?
I'm expecting a lot, and I expect when you show up, Hal, that you'll be bringing a ton of people with you as well.
Well, at least a few skeletons from my closet.
There you go. Yeah, we could always use some more.
Yeah, well, yeah. It sounds like a lot of fun. I mean, you know, this is something not only kids might enjoy, but grown-ups would enjoy.
Yes, we get more adults than kids. So it, you know, you get a feeling you're at a theme park. You get a feeling that you're like at a theme park in Anaheim that I won't mention, but it's all fun and good natured. And there are edgier jokes here and there for the adults, and kids are laughing at some of the goofier things that we display there as well.
Okay, we have to move on, but just real quickly, what's the cost, if there's any, and is there a website?
Yes, nhm.org/Boney Island is the website. That's the Natural History Museum website. So you can go there and get tickets. Tickets are $25, and members of the museum get in for $20. So it's a good incentive to join the museum. It's a win-win situation.
It's a three-acre area.
Yeah,
can't wait to see it. I'll see you down there. And Rick, thanks for joining us. All the best and good luck in your new
venue. Thanks for having me.
All right, take
Bye-bye.
Care. Coming up next on Fox 11 News in Depth. But Halloween is not the only holiday we celebrate at the end of October. Dia de los Muertos, the Day of the Dead, is a rich cultural tradition that is embraced by one of L.A.'s local historic icons, Hollywood Forever Cemetery. We'll show you what it's all about when we come back on the other side of the break. Don't go away. Welcome back to Fox 11 News in Depth. I'm Hal Eisner, and at the end of October, in the heart of Hollywood, there is a yearly festival that celebrates the link between ancient traditions and modern customs. Hollywood Forever Cemetery hosts this event every year, reacquainting people with their history, welcoming families, and offering a glimpse into a colorful, otherworldly holiday. Angie Jimenez is the altar director for Hollywood Forever's Dia de los Muertos, which may be easily said as Day of the Dead, I suppose. But Angie, mm-hmm. Welcome. Good to see you. And, you know, we want to bring up some video from past years of Dia de los Muertos and celebrations you've had as we talk a little bit about this. And first of all, let's tell everybody, what is it and what is it you do there at the cemetery?
Well, I am the altar director, the director of the altar program and the curator for the altar program. So every year what we do is we invite families throughout the county of Los Angeles, but not just throughout the county, because we actually now have people from out of state who come and participate in creating in what we call an ofrenda or an altar, which is really the heart and soul of the event and why this Dia de los Muertos celebration even happens. So this year we will be celebrating our 24th annual Day of the Dead event at Hollywood Forever. And as you mentioned earlier, it is a beautiful tradition that comes from it's a pre-Hispanic peoples of Mexico, which again, it's a combination of Catholicism and pre-Hispanic traditions. Initially, I believe, I understand that this was a tradition that was being held over the course of a whole month. But after the Roman Catholicism came into Mexico, they narrowed this event down to 2 days, which is now November 1st, which is the day we celebrate All Saints' Days. And this is to honor the young ones who have passed, the babies, the children. And then we have All Souls' Days, which is November 2nd, and that is Dia de los Muertos. So what I do at the for this event is, again, we invite families every year to participate in honoring their loved ones and creating an ofrenda. And people really, for me, it's become a beautiful installation of people's creativity and their love for their loved ones who have passed.
Let me ask you a little more about these altars, because I'm not sure I understand exactly what that looks like. And as altar director, what exactly do you do? Does it cost money? And who can get these things?
So we invite everyone who wants to sign up to create an altar, and it is free of cost. There is no cost involved. However, it is actually a contest. We do have three altar winners. We have the best themed altar, the best traditional altar, and the best contemporary altar. Each altar winner gets $5,000. So this is open to everyone who wants to come and create an altar in honor of their loved one. We often not only receive people who are honoring a person who has passed, but a community, a group of people. The most recent altar participants that we had were people who are honoring victims of mass shootings, victims, bicyclists, runners. And again, it's free of cost. There's no charge involved. However, you do get an opportunity to be an altar winner. So we do have two altar judges who come around and are checking out and rating the altars throughout the day. It's an all-day event.
It sounds really wonderful. It's rich in history. There's so much tradition. And, you know, we think of it as being a Hispanic culture tradition, but it's for everybody, right?
It is for everyone. Now, being here that we live in the city of Los Angeles, you know, we are the melting pot. So we have people from all backgrounds and races that come now and celebrate this beautiful tradition with us. People have learned about this Mexican tradition and have really embraced it here in LA. So again, it is an honor for me to be the altar curator, the altar director, because I see the applications that come in. And again, it's not only Latin families that are submitting applications. Mm-hmm. It's people from all parts of LA.
It seems like a big party. I mean, you have bands and a lot of stuff going on. Look, you can look at the video and see, you know, how much people have put into this thing. So how can people get involved? What do they need to do?
Well, if they want to participate in the altar contest, there is still time. That we are 17 days away from the event. And they can go onto our website, LA Day of the Dead. They can submit their application to our altar email, altars@LADayOfTheDead. And if they want to purchase tickets, you can also purchase tickets for the event at LA Day of the Dead. And it is, again, a beautiful celebration of life. It's not something, so you see a party because it is a party. We're celebrating our departed loved ones who we're just trying to create a beautiful space for to come back and celebrate with us.
And what a beautiful tradition that is. All right. Angie Jimenez, thank you so much for joining us. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
And coming up next on Fox 11 News In Depth, did you know that October is National Cookie Month? What a great tradition. When we come back, we're going to talk about a delicious cookie event for a really sweet cause. Don't go away. Welcome back to Fox 11 News In Depth. I'm Hal Eisner. And did we mention that October is National Cookie Month? I think I can celebrate this all year long. Our next guest is kind enough to bring cookies, and she's an expert on sweet treats. And, boy, you put some stuff out in front of me that I can't wait to hear about. Tell us a little bit about what we're dealing with this month. It is Babette Pepai. She is the founder of LA-based Bakespace.com. But there's this big event going on all through October.
Absolutely. Well, it's called Bake Camp, and it's a community event where members are, bakers all over the city are coming together and baking for a great cause. They're bringing their best recipes. We have three events that are happening. We already did Hollywood. We already did Pacific Palisades. And then the next event is October 22nd in the San Fernando Valley at the Valley Relics Museum, which I don't know if you've ever been to the Valley Relics Museum. It's amazing, but it's going to be 10,000 cookies, freshly baked. So imagine these smell good.
Wait a minute,
only five.
10,000 yeah. cookies?
Yeah, and 50 bakers.
Should I just bring a sleeping
bag? We're going to give you a bag.
Because I'll go to sleep with all that cookie sugar.
Well, they're all wrapped, yeah. So you'll be able to take them home. And then lots of the bakers actually have samples out, so you can sample them. And what's nice is, you know, sometimes you go to these events that are tasting events, and it's like they'll say, oh, it's free, but when you get there, you have to pay for everything individually. Because this is for a charity event, you buy tasting tickets in advance. You come to the location, we give you a little cookie passport, and then each baker stamps it. And so you don't have to spend any more money once you get to the venue.
But before you go much further, just tell me, Bake Camp is?
Bake Camp is a series of charity events that are held throughout Los Angeles to support whatever charity we're picking for the series. This year, we're actually picking PawWorks, which is a rescue for cats and dogs. They work with local shelters who, you know, sometimes local shelters get 9 dogs that are dumped on their front, you know, at their night box. And PawWorks is an organization that can go and pick up those 9 puppies and rehabilitate them and get them home. So these cookies, I always look at it like every calorie, every cookie goes to saving lives. So we're really proud to have them as our partner.
You know, I love looking at the video of the dogs, and we have video of cats as well. And I love cookies. And do I get to taste
yes,
these as
yes,
well?
Yes, these are actually
and look at that dog right there. That dog right there was so cute. Aww. Looks a little bit like my dog. But these are animals that need to be rescued. And
yes.
That's what PawWorks
yes.
does. So let's talk about these.
Sure. So these cookies, now these are all baked. First of all, if you just even smell them, they smell so good. So
okay,
imagine 10,000 of them.
Smell test here.
So this is a cookie.
Oh my goodness!
I wrote down who this was. April Snyder is a great baker. She did an Oreo
April.
Cookie cream. I know.
I love you.
You gotta try it.
This is a chocolate chip cookie with white chocolate chips and Oreos.
Mm-hmm.
Oreos baked into. Oh my goodness!
It's very delicious.
Mmm.
So what's your favorite cookie?
This.
Oh.
One right here. This is so good.
Yeah, it is good. Are you a chocolate chip fan?
Let's talk about the exotic variety you have.
Sure. Yeah. We have a variety. The ones I have here, I'll just read a couple of them. We have a salted caramel mocha from April, too. And there's caramel inside the middle. So it's a mocha cookie with caramel inside. And it is, let me see if I can get the caramel. You can't really see it.
Mm.
But it is delicious.
This is also a multicultural event.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. We have bakers that are not only multicultural themselves and a variety of bakers from all over the town, but they're also baking from recipes from their families. So imagine, a Polish recipe, a Polish cookie recipe. There's a family that's coming to the event that's launching a new cookie that's been handed down through their family.
Really?
And it's like they're testing out the cookie at the event, but it has some secret ingredients.
I need more hands. I got a cookie in each hand. Sorry, folks, about talking while I'm eating, but I got a cookie in each hand.
I know.
And now I'm going for the third
that's
one.
That's actually one of my favorites.
This is chocolate chip?
That's Myra Norville's. This is a classic chocolate chip, and she is like perfection.
How do you pick a favorite cookie? Can I have a glass of milk, guys?
There is a cookie contest. So at each of the events, there's 3 events, we pick an amateur and a pro baker who are voted on by the community. So when you come to the event, you actually get tokens to vote for your favorite bakers. Yes. And then at the end of the three events, the three amateur bakers who won each of the events. We have a panel of experts. That's actually Alexis Marmore's pink breast cancer awareness cookie.
Sugar cookie.
Yeah, it's good. Mm. It's nice and soft. And it's like, she's so sweet. Her father is so supportive of her baking.
All right, I only have 20 seconds here. I got to try. This is
That's Lex from Lexington Bakes.
Mm.
It's excellent. But you can't eat. That's like a whole meal. He actually won the pro for our Hollywood event. He was the pro winner.
That's amazing. Okay, the next event is October the 22nd.
At the Valley Relics Museum in the San Fernando Valley.
All right.
And people can get tickets at bakecamp.org. If they use the word HAL.
H-A-L?
I would say Halloween. I was just going to say Hal. It might be easier. They can save $10 on tickets, and it's free parking.
Look at that. Say the word Hal, you get $10 discount.
Exactly,
okay, Babette Pepeye, thank you very much. Appreciate it. Appreciate these. Fox 11 News in Depth continues right after this break. Okay, I'm going to have this one. No, this one. Well, wait, I'm going to try this. Wait a minute. And finally, if you want to hear an audio version of this program, check out my podcast. You know the name of it. It's called What the Hal, and it's available wherever you subscribe to podcasts or just go to whatthehalpodcast.com. That's it for this week's Fox 11 News in Depth, sort of our Halloween edition. Thanks for joining us. Have a great week, everybody. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.